You know, rock gardens are a beautiful addition to any landscape, but how complicated are they to create and care for? Well, our next guest can give us all the details. With us from Allen Centennial Gardens in Madison, our horticulturist Isaac Zaman and rock garden intern Josh Neslight. Josh Neslight got the last name right and the first name wrong. Go figure. Do you have a favorite rock garden? Do you have questions about maintaining one? Join in by calling 800-642-1234 or you can send an email to talk@wpr.org. Thanks for joining us, gentlemen.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
You bet.
Thank you.
I can tell that you were just out in the garden because you are dressed appropriately with your hat. Absolutely. So, Isaac, what is the official description of a rock garden?
Sure. Our rock garden, specifically the one in Allen Centennial Gardens, is basically a collection of plants that focuses around the hardscape and structure using all different kinds of natural materials, rocks, various different types of low-growing alpine plants, and some small dwarf conifers. We tend to focus on different types of rock garden styles at our garden because we are a teaching garden. So we've got various different implementations within about a third of our 2.5-acre plot. We have everything from like crevice gardens to hyper tufa troughs to just giant tufa beds in our space.
Explain those last two because I have no idea what you were talking about.
Sure. So tufa is actually this awesome stone that you can use in rock gardening. It's a very porous stone that has quite a bit of cavities naturally occurring within the stone. So it actually acts as a great kind of canvas for any rock garden because you can put them very easily into the landscape. They offer a lot of nice structure, but you can also plant into them because they have a lot of spaces. And as for the troughs, my apprentice actually did a bunch of our troughs this past year. So why don't you tell them about that?
All right, Josh, apprentice.
Yeah. Yeah, so hyper tufa is what it's called, and it's basically a mixture that we make up that is supposed to mimic a tufa rock because they're not found here in Wisconsin. And so they can be very expensive to ship in or just find at like a landscaping store. So what we do is we take Portland cement, perlite, and we also do sphagnum moss, and you mix them together and it hardens and it creates this porous sort of like tufa rock that you can grow plants in just like you would in an actual rock. And it's important to leave those out over the winter and make sure you get the acidity from the cement out because otherwise your plants will not grow well. Yeah, but they are easy to make at home.
Okay. So we would just be able to Google that, I'm assuming, on how to make them.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. There's plenty of tutorials online. Mm-hmm. And it's a really simple process. Like I said, you just mix those three ingredients with some water to get to the right consistency, which is just almost a slurry, but a little bit thicker. And then you put it like around a mold with a plastic bag because you don't want to ruin whatever shape you're making. And you just let it dry for a few weeks and you get a nice trough.
And then you fill them with a certain type of soil.
Yeah, so What we do is we make a mix here at the garden that is sand, gravel, and any sort of like potting soil or leftover soil from other spots in the garden, whatever kind of soil you have. But the main point is that you need sand to make it drain well because rock garden plants are used to an environment where there's a lot of water going in. So like if you think of the side of a mountain, it'll drain down the side, but it won't stay there. So they absorb water while they can, and then the rest goes down the hill. And if you have water that's stagnant, you'll end up rotting out your roots. And so that's why it's important to use torpedo sand, especially, is a great kind.
Okay. And I'm imagining then, Isaac, that's why when we see a rock garden, it is on a hill.
Right. Yeah. In our garden, there are pictures online. You come and visit us, you'll see that it's quite almost like a giant crater, the entirety of our garden. And the rock garden slopes pretty heavily. We are certainly cleaning up lots of rocks all the time that are washing out with the rain, but it generally also has a very sandy mix, like Josh was saying. I mean, the stuff doesn't look like anything else in the garden. We don't use any mulch there. It's very low fertility, and generally it's always requiring water because the water drains through it so fast. I mean, we can water in the morning and then you go and feel it 3 hours later and it'll be completely bone dry.
So if someone was contemplating adding one to their landscape, that particular point of the water is a big consideration, right?
Right. Yeah. So one of the struggles that we see in the rock garden is that we have very wet soil in some portions. We actually have a sand bed that isn't as sloped as the rest of the beds. So it will collect water and hold it for a little bit longer than the rest. And that is where we see most of our rot and die off, is plants that have just had too wet of feet for their spot, and they just tend to not make it to the next year. They'll look good when we put them in, but then the slow decline.
Sure. Yeah. So Josh, what are your responsibilities at the rock garden? What do you have to do to maintain it?
Yeah, so as the rock garden apprentice, I spend about half my time here at the garden, just in the rock garden. And what I do is mostly watering, like we've been saying, but also weeding. We don't have a lot of weeds that pop up, but when they do, it's almost from the rock garden, because certain plants like acetum can be way too happy and then they spread everywhere in the rock garden. And so that's something that I've been fighting back for the 2 years that I've been here. Other things I do, like Isaac mentioned, I have to clean up a lot of rocks because we've been fighting erosion this year with all the rain. So I've always got my shovel out. I got to get the sand and gravel back to the top of the paths. And one other thing we have is a water feature, which is a waterfall that goes into our pond. And it's important that I keep the algae out of there, just for making sure the area looks nice, just because you don't want your garden to be ugly.
That kind of defeats the purpose, doesn't it?
Yeah.
When you decided to become an intern or an assistant or apprentice, were you asked where you would like to focus your energies, or were you just kind of assigned the rock garden area?
So I was asked if I would like to work in the rock garden, and I was so excited because it was my first real position in the industry that I was like, I just want to work in the garden, so I'll work anywhere. But I really came to love the rock garden. I think it's a zen environment. One of my favorite parts is just because everything's so diminutive, you really need to pay attention to detail. And you go in there and there's something new every day. A different plant will be blooming, so you never know what you'll find.
Isaac, how do you decide what plants are going to be put in that rock garden or what are going to be kicked out because they're just not working?
Sure. So it's an interesting thing that I've been thinking about a lot this past year, but essentially for deaccessioning a plant in our rock garden, it kind of goes like, if we are not able to properly identify it, either because a label has gone missing or because the plant has been overtaken by something next to it, now it's just this huge amalgamous mass of random things, that is when we will kind of look at it and say, okay, well, do we really want this? Does it look to our standard of what our rock garden should be looking like? And if it doesn't, then it's a pretty easy answer for us to just pull that and then replace it with something that we do like. The struggle with rock gardens also is that a lot of the nurseries that carry alpine plants aren't producing as heavily as they once were. It's not a market that brings in a ton of money, I don't think. So we actually don't have that many sources that grow them for us. We are almost always ordering by mail from the other side of the country. And even then, there's only like two or three nurseries around. But those nurseries are generally really excited to send stuff to us. So we're really thankful for those nurseries, you know, having things that we get to pick from aside from like the general public. Everything that we get in there is either a curated new cultivar that's being released by some niche breeder, or it's something that, you know, either one of us or one of our rock head volunteers really wants to see in our space, because a lot of our garden, I would feel, is a situation of ownership amongst several different people, right? We work in the garden, but we also have all of these volunteers who are extremely dedicated to the space, and they love being able to come in and add to it and be a part of the design process. So in the rock garden, we really boost that as best we can. And our main rock head volunteer, who actually was on this show about a decade ago, Ed Glover, he actually helps us to, you know, really dial in. Okay, this is something really new and rare. We're going to want to get something like that.
So is there like a newsletter for your rock heads?
Right. So we have a newsletter that goes out to all of our volunteers. The rock heads are a part of our larger volunteer group, and they usually come on Thursdays from 9 to 11. So they tend to keep in their lane with the rock garden, and they always are doing something new and different every week based on like what we have available. Did plants come? Do we want to make some more troughs? And it's very ad hoc, I'd say. But in general, we do also subscribe to NARGS, which is the North American Rock Garden Society. And if you want materials pertaining to rock gardens, you really should sign up for NARGS and get in on their quarterly newsletter, because that will also have a lot of great information, including like how to do the super tufa and how to do all of the various different planting schemes that we have in our gardens.
Great. And again, that was North American Rock Garden, NARG. Okay.
NARGS, yeah, Rock Garden Society. Yep.
Oh, Society, don't forget the S. Okay. So what about, Josh, have you ever tried to do any kind of native planting and for the rock garden, or are we talking about species that really don't grow here?
So there's really not a lot going on for natives. Most of the plants we get come from places where there's very poor soil. So that could be like a desert, or even like up in the Arctic in North Canada. It could come from alpine mountainous regions. But one thing that we do have in our rock garden that's native is Wisconsin's native cacti. And so that's one thing that I think a lot of people, when you tell them that, they might not have heard of it before. So Wisconsin has cacti native. You know, it just doesn't really sound right, but it is. We have, like Isaac was talking about, a sand bed, which is supposed to mimic more like a desert environment. And so when that became too wet, we had to move our cacti underneath our gazebo. Like there's a little overhang, and that way it keeps the soil from being too wet.
I imagine they loved it last year and are hating it this year.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, with us from the Allen Centennial Gardens in Madison are horticulturist Isaac Zellman and rock garden intern Josh Neslett. If you've got any questions for them, give us a call. Lines are open, 800-642-1234, or you can send us an email. That's talk@wpr.org. Hope you can join us on Monday. We're going to be talking about how a boy with dyslexia went from not reading at 18 to getting his PhD. And then we'll chat with our old friend Jerry Apps about his life, his books, and turning 90. So that'll be coming up on Monday. Hope you can join us again. Right now we are talking about rock gardens. And I was just, you know, for those who haven't been to the Allen Centennial Gardens, there's more there than just the rock garden. So tell us a little bit about some of the things that you have, Isaac.
Sure, yeah. So we're a 2.5-acre teaching garden on the UW-Madison campus, sort of by the Lakeshore Nature Preserve. We specialize as a teaching location for all of the different plant-based majors and departments on campus, everything from like horticulture, botany, to landscape architecture, and even history and arts. We have 27 different garden styles that we try to keep and maintain to be able to teach to all of our students. But we also do all sorts of events and fun things at the garden. So we've actually got some jazz concerts coming up in the next 3 weeks on July 21st, August 4th, and August 18th. Those are completely free and they are on Sunday. We also have make your own bouquets during that around 4 o'clock on Sundays. And then we also have other fun things that we do in the garden in the fall, like our annual harvest festival, which is going to be on the 28th of September this year. And we're also bringing to the garden awesome, fun summer Saturdays, which has bouquet making and tours that are $10 and $5 respectively every Saturday from 9:30 to 11.
And so, normally it's free to go in. It's just that you'll have an expert tour person or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. So if you visit the garden any time of the week, you can just have a fun time, walk around, although you may not get to hear everything about all of the spaces. But if you want one of our interns or one of our staff members to kind of walk you around and show you around and give you the inside details about like the teaching that goes on or all of the various different projects that we have happening, then that'll all be during the weekends.
For sure. And I've been a number of times, and I swear every time I go, I find something different. It's like, I'm sorry, I don't remember there being a garden back there. Yeah. Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah, I really like to mix it up.
Yes, you do. So I was just thinking about, you talked about earlier about name tags and how frustrating it is when you go to a botanical garden and there's no little nameplate there. How do you keep track of that? And are there special ones that you buy for that? Go ahead, sure. Isaac.
Sure, yeah. So we've got tons of different ways of managing our collections, but one of the useful ones is our plant finder. So if you go on our website and you go into the about area of our website, you'll be able to find our database, which kind of breaks up the garden by the different sections, and it has our plant lists in it. So we've been working diligently to update that since COVID and get a bunch of new plants in, take old plants out. And we also do physical labels as well on a lot of our woodies, as well as a bunch of the really niche stuff that's in the rock garden. So for everywhere else in the garden, we tend to use bigger labels that are just for the larger plants, you know, woody shrubs, trees, and et cetera, annuals. They change too much to have everything labeled.
True.
But in the rock garden, Josh has actually been taking care of a lot of our labeling with the tiny, smaller labels to fit with the tiny, diminutive plants.
Because you don't have a lot of soil to be putting little, you know, signs in, do you?
Right.
No, there's not. And the rock heads, when they first helped to make the space, they did a really good job at making the crevices. And so I'm sitting there sometimes with these labels, poking them in the ground, just looking for a single hole to get the stake into. But it's tough without as much soil.
Right. And I just didn't even really think about that. So what advice do you have someone who wants to have a rock garden, whether it's something big on a slope or maybe it's like a little trough like you were talking about? Where do you start first?
Yeah. So the first thing I would look to do is see if you can get any tufa rock, because that is by far the best kind of starting point you could get for a rock garden. It is expensive and it can be hard to find.
And how is that spelled? How is that spelled, Josh?
T-U-F-A.
Oh, just like it sounds. Okay, great. Thanks.
And so if you can't find that, there's plenty of alternatives. Like I said, you can grow these plants in just a mixture of gravel, sand, and any normal soil. You just want to have rocks because they help to support the plant. Since there's not a lot of soil, they don't have a lot of roots to like keep themselves down on the ground. But that's part of why they're diminutive, is to keep out of the wind and like to stay warm in the winter. One other thing you can do is you can take like long, thin rocks. And Isaac kind of alluded to this earlier. We have a crevice garden, and the crevice is a bunch of like normal rocks that you'd put in. Think like, if you load your dishwasher with a bunch of plates,
okay,
you have all these thin little spots where you can put plants into the ground. And those create like a kind of micro habitat. So you can even plant things that like typically alpine plants like full sun, but you can plant things like ferns in your crevice that require shade, because as the sun goes across the sky, like this slanted crevice will keep it shaded all day. And so there's lots of different styles. And then, like I was talking about before, you can make the hyper tufa troughs, which are really pretty cheap to make. Like it's only will run you $20 probably to make a trough. And you can, if you have a bag of cement and perlite and peat moss, like you can make probably 50 of them. and that's a huge scale like rock garden. So
So do you make the shapes into like just regular troughs like you would see like to feed an animal? Or are you talking about weird shapes and things like that?
Yeah, so there's what we do at the garden is our troughs tend to be either rectangles, squares, circles, or ovals. But there are people out there that I know who create like free form ones where they use sand as a mold. And so then they like make a design in the sand and then cover it up with a plastic bag and pour the mixture over the top of it. And that way you can get like a star or something crazy, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's really, rock gardening can be up to your imagination for sure.
Yeah.
Like the sky is the limit.
I like that. I noticed on your website that you did a like a tour of some rock gardens in the area. And what did you what was your thoughts on that? Did you have one that was your favorite?
That's tough because they're all so great. Yeah. But the rock gardens that I went and saw were all owned by like just normal people who were passionate about the kind of gardening. And I'd say my favorite one was just in someone's backyard in Milwaukee. And you wouldn't have known it from the front yard because it's like a small house, you know, they're all packed together kind of in a row. But when you enter the backyard, you're like transported into this totally different world where like they have like a waterfall and a huge pond and like a bridge over it in their backyard. They have all these unique plants. And it's something that you wouldn't know is there unless you got into it and you started talking to the people who are passionate about it as well.
Isaac, what do you do in the winter to protect some of these plants? I mean, if they don't have long roots, what goes on in the wintertime?
Well, I actually am not worried about the cold because like Josh was saying, a lot of these plants come from regions where they have harsh conditions and they are not actually that hard to grow in Wisconsin just because we have some milder weather in comparison to like the top of a mountain. But we also have constructed our garden with a lot of rock faces that are out of the soil. And they are extremely good heat sinks. So when the sun comes out in the winter and it's hitting these rocks perfectly fine, it'll actually melt the snow. So all these plants are actually doing completely fine. We rarely have issues with hardiness. We have plants that are up to zone 6 and even sometimes zone 7 in our crevice garden. And they're doing just fine. They're actually thriving, growing, producing seed. So I don't do anything other than deal with the moles and voles. So we put out a couple of traps, but that's really all we have to worry about. And because of the mild winter this past year, we actually didn't have much activity. So
That's always nice. Yeah. Josh, if you so say I wanted to start a rock garden, what plants would you suggest that I start with? And is there a location in a garden that would be the best?
So probably the best location would be on some sort of hill if you have that. And if you just have like a flat yard, I would suggest making a hill. So just like by piling up your soil and your rocks, you can kind of make an incline where you can plant these plants. And I would say for a beginner, I would start with some things like sedums or hens and chicks, pasque flowers. These are really easy to grow. They'll spread a lot on their own and they can grow in lots of different conditions. They are so good at growing that, like I was saying, they kind of become weeds in our garden at certain points. You know, we have to declump them because otherwise they take over the rest of the rock garden.
Isaac, I didn't ask you, do you have a favorite rock garden somewhere?
Oh, goodness. Well, I have to say ours, right?
Of course, besides that one.
Certainly. I do like rock gardens and personal homes. One of my friends, Jane Barnett, has a wonderful rock garden all on her property. She lives here in town. I actually got a chance to go over there while all of the NARGS members were over there hanging out. And so we were all just geeking about all of these plants. It was quite awesome. But if you're ever looking to get any of these rock garden plants, I would say mail order is probably the best way to go. There used to be some places in Madison that you could get them, like the Flower Factory. Sometimes they sell them still at the farmer's market, but generally speaking, go online and probably anywhere that has rock garden in the name.
All right. Well, thank you both very much. We've been talking to Isaac Zaman and Josh Neslett. They work with the Allen Centennial Gardens. Thanks, guys. Have fun out there in the sun today. And I'm Jill Nadeau. I want to thank you for joining us today and thank all of our team for all of their help. Stay well.